Tonight we're going to start the study of angels. We finished up the book of Daniel last Wednesday night, and the book of Daniel has a lot of Michael the Archangel and Gabriel and all of that involved in it, and so that's what got us started thinking about the study of angels. Here's something I want to point out just by way of introduction. Sometimes what I like to do when I'm studying a certain subject, what I like to do is run the references in the Bible, find out how many times it's mentioned, where it's mentioned, if it's mentioned more so in certain areas of the Bible. I'll give you for instance. The word angel and the word angels, obviously, the plural form. These two words, angel and angels, from Genesis to Malachi, that's all of your Old Testament. Angel appears 104 times. Angels with an S, 13 times. Genesis through Malachi, that covers your whole Old Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Angel appears 23 times. Angels with an S appears 29 times. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, watch this. Romans through Philemon, angel appears 3 times. And angels with an S, 10 times. Now I'm going somewhere. Hebrews through Revelation, 61 times the word angel is mentioned. 61 times. Hebrews through Revelation. Angels with an S is 41 times. Now, what this tells you when you start talking about angels, when's the last time y'all seen an angel? Why haven't we seen angels like they did in the Old Testament? Man, Old Testament, man, angels just popped up everywhere on your front door, you know. We'll look at that hopefully here in a minute. And Abraham's sitting out there minding his own business. Here come some angels, showed up to his tent door. Well, that hadn't happened to me lately that I know of. Here's what I get from this. Angel activity was very heavy in the Old Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, somewhat. Hebrews through Revelation, very heavy angelic activity. Because in the tribulation and the thousand-year millennial reign out through in the future, angelic activity is very, as we looked at Daniel, as we looked at the book of Revelation, we found Michael the Archangel, Revelation chapter number 12, and all this kind of stuff going on out there. So you'll see it's real heavy through here. But through here, Romans through Philemon, what we call the church age, and the reason I say Romans through Philemon, those were the books that Paul wrote to the churches, to the church at Rome, to the church at Corinth, to the church at Thessalonica, to the church at Galatia, Philippi. You get the picture. These churches, angel has only appeared 3 times. And did you, out of those 13 times, angel and angels, out of those 13 times, I forgot. I think about 6 or 7 of those references here are referring to over here. So what that tells me is, in this age right here, we don't see a lot of angelic activity. Now, does anybody want to take a guess and tell us maybe why? Just think for a second. After the Lord Jesus Christ, he ascends into heaven, and in Acts chapter number 2, the Holy Spirit comes down and indwells the believer. If you get saved, the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. So let me ask y'all a question. Had you rather have an angel or the Holy Spirit watching after you? You see. So here in this age that we live in, waiting on the rapture of the church, the Lord to come, you don't see a lot of that because why? We have the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of us. Does that make sense? So when you're studying, and if you were to take a college course, if you really want to make people think you really know something, this study is actually called angelology. Angelology, O-L-G-Y, is the Greek reference that means the study of. So you got the study of angels. Man. Isn't that good, Cecil? Do I seem smart? So now you feel like you're smart. The study of angels. That's angelology. Now, out of all the Bible, 273 times it's mentioned in 34 books of the Bible. Now, the definition of angel. You know, sometimes you'll read some commentaries and they'll say, well, the definition of angel is a messenger. Well, that can be true, but it's not always true. There are some angels that don't give messages. Gabriel announced the birth of John the Baptist. Gabriel announced the birth of Jesus Christ. He was a messenger, if you will. But there's others in the Bible that don't give any messages at all. So that wouldn't be a good definition, but yet angels sometimes are messengers. But anytime you see the word angel, it's always an appearance of something in the Bible. Of course, we understand Jesus was born in Bethlehem in the Gospels here. But before that, did y'all realize that Jesus showed up in the Old Testament by the angel of the Lord? He was an appearance angel of, preposition of, the Lord, belonging to the Lord, an appearance of the Lord. You say, well, where's that in the Bible? Don't y'all remember when the king threw in the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? And then there was a fourth man that appeared in the fire. And the king says, I thought we threw in three. I'm counting four. And the fourth appears to be the Son of God. That's what we call a theophany, a pre-Bethlehem appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know we preached this past Sunday on Exodus chapter number 3, where God spoke to Moses through the burning bush? And the Bible says the angel of the Lord spoke to Moses through the burning bush. Isn't that something? So, with all of that said, now, where did angels come from? Well, let me see here. I've got the verses on the screen for you that'll help us a little bit, save some time. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. For by him, that's Jesus, were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible. Angels are normally invisible. They can make an appearance and make themselves visible. Whether there be thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, all things were created by him and for him. Jesus Christ, God, created the angels before the creation. You say, how do you know that he created everything before the creation? Well, let's look at something else. Psalms 148, verse number 2 through 5. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Notice, host and angels are used interchangeably. What are hosts? Host of angels. Praise him, all the angels. Praise him, all the hosts. Praise ye him, sun, moon. Praise ye him, all stars of light. Praise ye him, ye heavens of heavens, and you waters that are above the heavens. Now, here, watch verse 5. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. So the angels were created by God before the creation. Now, let me give you something else. In Job, you say, where do you get the before the creation? Well, the angels were created way before Adam and Eve, way before the creation was ever started. Job 38 tells us that. Job and God's having a conversation. And Job's, you know, sometimes how we get. Job is down on himself and, you know, questioning God and all that kind of thing. I know you've never done that before, but Job did. And God just asked Job some questions. Hey, Job, where was you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Where were you? You were nowhere to be found. Declare if thou hast any understanding. Who hath laid the measure thereon, if thou knowest? or hath stretched the line upon it. In other words, measured it out. Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? Now watch this, verse 7. When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Now, angels are referred to here as morning stars and sons of God. Sons of God, a son of God. Now, you say, well, how do you know those are angels? Who else up there was there? That's before Job. That's before Adam and Eve. There wasn't nobody else up there. When the morning stars sang together, so the angels sang and shouted for joy when God created the whole earth. Does that make sense? And he calls angels a son of God. Now, what a son of God is a direct creation of God. I'll explain what I mean when I turn this heat down. Somewhere. Lord, yeah. Woo. I done got worked up. And okay. And maybe we got Miss Francis thawed out by now. Right? People on the videos go, who is Miss Francis? So you're going to be famous, Miss Francis, on YouTube, all right? I said the word son of God. God calls the angels. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, the Son of God, that's Jesus Christ. He was. Why? Because he was a direct. Now, I'll give you, for instance, look at, Luke 3 and verse number 8. This is the genealogy of the Lord. But then when it gets down, verse 38, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of who? Son of God. Adam was a son of God. Why? A direct. Because God physically picked up the dirt, formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed in his nostrils breath of life. Man became a living soul. So Adam is referred to as the son of God because he's a direct creation of God. Angels are referred to as sons of God. When the sons of God shouted for joy, there it is, and the morning stars sang together, sons of God shouted for joy. Who are they? They're angels. If you were to go to, let me give you something else on those stars. We looked at this one time. I don't have this verse on the screen, but Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. And I had this verse down for another reason, but we'll come back to it in a minute. Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 20. Jesus is giving the seven churches of the book of the Revelation. And in verse number 20, he says, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. You see that? The stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven golden, the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Now, stars, morning stars, are a relation to angels. But according to Revelation chapter 1, those seven angels that thou sawest are seven angels of the seven churches. You ever wondered, you know, where all the stars live? Los Angeles. The city of. Isn't that something? Isn't it odd how that works? Anyway, I thought that was good. Adam being that. Now, does that make sense about the Son of God, a direct creation? Now, I know what you're thinking. I thought we were sons of God. Well, not until you get saved and God. That's why we call it being born again. Because in John 1:12, but to as many as received him, To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You see. Then I become a direct creation of God, you see. Right now, I'm not a... No, back up. Before I got saved, when I was born, I'm not a direct creation because why? I was born from my father and mother, Adam and Eve. We all were. But when I got saved, I became a son of God through the Lord Jesus Christ and his shed blood on the cross. That makes sense? So, all right. Now, let's look at how many angels there are. Well, let's see what the Bible says on it. Let's see, the Bible says, let's look at Revelation 5, verse 11. Revelation 5 and verse number 11. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels around about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. It's almost like he got tired of counting. He said, thousands of thousands. That's a bunch. I tell you this, Hebrews tells us even something more. Hebrews 12:22 says, but ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, that's in heaven, and to an innumerable company of angels. Well, how many are there? Can't count them. They're innumerable. Does that make sense? There's a bunch of them. Now, with all of that said, let me just jump ahead of myself for 1 second. When we start talking about angels, angels are spirit beings. So when I say an angel is a spirit being, everybody automatically think, okay, a spirit, well, that's sort of like Casper the Friendly Ghost, and this has got a, you know, a bed sheet over him, and he's got two eyes, and he's just floating around in the room. That's not what a spirit is. A spirit can actually manifest itself in a person. I'll show you that in just a few minutes. So don't think that these angels, well, it's just, you know, like I said, just some ghost floating around. That's a lot of times what people think when you start talking about the Holy Spirit. They think, well, a spirit is something that just floats around in the, you know, and only shows up on Halloween. And that's not true. The Holy Spirit is a real person. Now, let's see. Let me look at my notes here. How many of them? All right, we looked at all of that. Let's see. Here's another. Oh, y'all remember this? Jesus hanging on the cross. And the Bible says he could have called 12 legions of angels. A legion is anywhere from 3 to 6,000. 3 to 6,000. Well, 12 times 6 is what? 72,000. 12 legions would have been 72,000 angels. He could have called when hanging on the cross. Now, let me put that in perspective for you. 72,000. One angel in 2 Kings. One angel killed 185,000 men with one swipe of a sword. One angel. 185,000. So what could 72,000 do? Whatever 72,000 is times 185,000. Don't know. I think those 12 legions could have wiped out the whole known world at that time. So when we start talking about angelic, the spirit realm, and all of that kind of thing, they're not bound by human laws. Matter of fact, in the Bible, angels walk through locked doors. Matter of fact, y'all remember in the book of Acts? I don't know if I wrote that one down or not. In the book of Acts, Peter was in prison. And the angel came down, unlocked the prison. Matter of fact, I think the story goes, without reading the whole thing, Peter was asleep and the angel slapped him in the side, woke him up. Man, you know. So angels are not bound by human laws like we are. It is totally different. I'll give you, for instance, unlocked doors, open prison doors. They can travel great distances very quickly. We saw that in the book of Daniel. Michael the archangel traveled very far to get to where Daniel was. Angels are very wise and very strong. Let me see if I got this verse. Let's see. Bless the Lord. Psalm 103, verse 20. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength. Very strong. Very strong beings. Now, let me give you some... let me break through tradition. If you watch television, television will give you one image for an angel, and the Bible gives you something totally different. Because a lot of times on television, if you watch television enough, you would think an angel is this blonde woman, and she's got wings coming out her back, and she's sitting upon this cloud spreading cream cheese over her bagel. And you think, boy, there's an angel. But in the Bible, that's not necessarily the case. Now, in the Bible, angels always appear. Now, ladies, don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at me. I'm just, in the Bible, angels always appear as young men. And I would say probably around 33 years old. Now, that's a guess. I know they always appear as young men. I'm guessing on the 33. You say, why? How old was Jesus when he died? 33 years old. Adam. Y'all remember Adam? Adam, they called him the first Adam. They called Jesus the last Adam. The first Adam, the reason Jesus had to come was because the first Adam fail, sin, and you know, when he sinned and fail, wouldn't you guess if Jesus had to come and fix what Adam failed to do, Jesus came and died at 33. What did God tell Adam? The day you eat of that fruit, ye shall surely die. So when Adam took that fruit, he was probably 33. How do you know? Jesus, when he died to fix, he died at 33. When did Adam die? When he physically died? 33. You see? So these angels, so this gives us some encouragement. When we get to heaven, we'll all be 33. Won't it be wonderful? You know. And that's another thing. You start talking about heaven and all of this, and sometimes, again, you watch television or the internet and all that kind of stuff. You get to heaven, and they show you they're going down the golden street, and you got a mansion over here in the front porch and an old granny sitting in a rocking chair on the front porch, you know, and all these little kids. You know, and that's and you're going, boy, that makes me feel warm and fuzzy. But there's not going to be any old people on canes and crutches and wheelchairs in heaven. You know. So the Bible will fix a lot of stuff that we might think that is true. So these angels appear to be men, and let me give you something else. Y'all ready for this one? No. No wings. I know that hurts your feelings because you got all these little trinkets in your house and they have wings on them and you've always thought those were angels, but save them. If I don't get to it tonight, there's another kind that does have wings, and so you can just change their name when you get home. Angels in the Bible do not have wings. There is a classification of angels called cherubims, and seraphims. They have wings. Cherubims have four, two sets. Seraphims have six. But angels as a whole, just a regular angel out there. He doesn't have any wings, or there's none showing where we can find that in the Bible. Okay. Now, we've already dealt with the angel of the Lord. Jesus is called the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament and even a couple of places in the New. Here's what I want you to do. I didn't put this one on the screen because it's too much to read. I want you to look at it. Go to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis 18. Genesis 18. Let me look at Genesis 18, and this is the story I was telling y'all about just a little bit ago, about Abraham. Abraham sitting out there minding his own business, and I want to show you something about these angels. Yes, they are not confound to our human laws. You know, they can pass through locked doors and all that kind of stuff we've already dealt with, but here's something interesting about them. Genesis chapter 18, verse number 1. And the Lord appeared unto him, that's Abraham, in the plains of Mamre, and he sat at the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. Now, I'm going to go ahead and tell you these three men are angels. One of them is the angel of the Lord, Jesus Christ, pre-Bethlehem appearance of the Lord, and the other two are just regular angels. And he said, my Lord. Now, you wouldn't call, you know, you say, wow, they're just three regular men. That's not true. You couldn't call one of those my Lord, would you? Especially a capital L-O-R-D. If now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts after that ye shall have passed on. For therefore are you come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, get yourself down to Kroger right now. That's what it means in the Hebrew. Unto Sarah and said, make ready, quick, three measures of fine meal. Knead it and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran into the herd, fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto the young man, and he hastened to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf, which he had dressed, and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did what? So even though those angels are not subjected to human, they can still eat natural food. Now, they don't have to eat it to sustain life like we do. We have to eat to live. Some of us live to eat. But if you don't know who you are, just look down. You know. Anyway, all right. Now, look at chapter 19, just the next chapter, and I'll show you what I'm talking about. And there came two angels to Sodom at evening, and Lot sat at the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. Now, chapter 18, these angels went to see Abraham. Basically, what they said is, we're fixed to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham's like, hey, I got a nephew down there in the family. Hey, you know. So there's two angels. It appears like that the angel of the Lord didn't go, but these two angels went to see Lot, and Lot did the same thing, bowed his face toward the ground, verse 2, and he said, behold, now, my lords, trust in, I pray you, unto your servant's house, and tarry all night. Wash your feet, and you shall rise up early. Go your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the streets all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned into them and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. See that? So these angels are. Now, here's something else. Just by reading the Bible, we figure out. Do y'all remember after the resurrection of Jesus Christ? After the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Jesus, now in a glorified body, not his regular fleshly body, but a glorified body after his resurrection. He ate broiled fish and honeycomb with the disciples. What does that mean? That means that the Bible says we as Christians, we as saved people, when we are raptured out of here, our bodies will get a body like the Lord, which means we'll eat in heaven with no fat grams, no calories. Stay in your seat. Don't get excited. Isn't that wonderful? Now, let me do a couple of other things that I want to say. Angels are not omnipresent. They cannot. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. Angels are not omnipresent. Number two, angels are not omnipotent. That means all powerful. God is. Angels are not omniscient. Omniscient is all knowing. Angels are not all knowing. God is, you see. So there are some things that angels are not. Now, let me say this in just the last few minutes that we have, and we'll get into this a little more, hopefully, as the study progresses. I'm giving you just a bunch of information about angels, hoping to whet your appetite for some of the other stuff that's coming. Because guess what? All angels are not good. There are fallen angels. There are angels that kept not their first estate and left with Lucifer when he fell. Y'all remember that story? Well, look at it. It's in Ezekiel 28 sometime. Maybe next time. We'll have time tonight. Now, let me see. Did I write this? Let me see if I got this on the board. About angels. 1 Corinthians 15, 39 and 40 says, all flesh is not the same flesh. But there is one kind of flesh of men. Hey, that's us. Another flesh of beasts. Another of fishes. And another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. Angelic hosts would be celestial bodies. We'll get one of those one day. But right now we are terrestrial bodies. And those two are not the same. And I know a lot of people have made these statements. And if you've ever made these statements, I may have mistakenly made these statements before. And if you have, that's fine, no problem. I'm just saying, when somebody passes away, it's what we say. Well, they're an angel in heaven now, and they've got their wings. That ain't true. Some woman told me one time, says, preacher, how am I going to get my robe, my crown, and over my robe, my wings, and all that? I said, ma'am, you need to worry about how you can get that crown over them two horns sticking out of your top of your head. She never come back to church. Anyway, I'm kidding about that. I was just joking. Now, to go back to what I was saying a while ago about fallen angels, Matthew 25, 41 says, then saith he also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and what? His angel. So the devil has angels. They left with him when he fell. So there are some spirits that are angels that are fallen, that are bad. And those are the forces that we deal with on a daily basis. And a lot of people don't like to talk about the evil spirits and all of that kind of stuff because sometimes we don't understand the spirit world and how it works a lot. All we have is what the Bible tells us. But there is an evil spirit world out there, and it's working. And this world is following right along with it, right down the road, as fast as it can go. And a lot of people are blind to it. Let me give you this real quick before we close. Some stuff that the angels do. They, matter of fact, some of their jobs. And all of this is just introduction, just throwing you a lot of information out there to get you ready to study and go in deep, because we're going to go into the classification: cherubims, seraphims, archangels, angels of peace, angel of war. There's some angels, man, I'm telling you, you don't want to mess with. Anyway, there was angels that appeared in Joshua's day when they marched around the walls of Jericho, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto Joshua and had his hand on his sword and this, that, and the other. There was an angel that released the chains from Peter, opened the prison doors. There was an angel that, matter of fact, y'all remember the story of the wheat and the tares, Matthew 13? God lets an angel come down, gather the wheat and the tares, bind up the tares. An angel does that. If y'all remember the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter number 8, the Bible says an angel led Philip to this Ethiopian eunuch so he could share the gospel with him. It's an amazing thing. Now, here's something interesting. I'm going to go to Matthew 4 and verse 11. I'm going to read this. Matthew 4, 11. Jesus, being tempted in the wilderness, and verse 11 says, then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Ministered unto who? Ministered unto the Lord. You say, I can't believe Jesus would need, I mean, he's God. Yes, but you have to remember, in Matthew 4, yes, he's God, but he was 100% man as well. And so these angels had to come and minister unto him. Another place is in Luke 22 in the Garden of Gethsemane. Y'all remember? Jesus prayed, sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me, and so on and so forth. And the Bible says an angel came and ministered unto him, strengthened him. That's just some of the ministries that the angels do. Here's another one, Luke 16. Y'all remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus? A rich man clothed in purple, fine linen, fared sumptuously every day, and didn't believe the Lord, and he went to hell. And the Bible says the angels came and carried Lazarus away into Abraham's bosom. There's a job that they do. Isn't that something? Anyway, we'll probably stop right there. I've got a couple other things that I was going to share about the angels, but well, I want to leave enough time for questions and all that kind of stuff. But being a representative in heaven, we dealt with this in Daniel a little bit, but it appears that nations, especially the nation of Israel, has an angelic representation in heaven. Michael the archangel is the angelic representation in heaven for the nation of Israel. I can prove that. Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 12. Very simple. It appears that children, according to Matthew, children have an angelic representation in heaven. In Matthew 18 verse 10. Says their angel, I'll tell you. I thought I could quote it, but I can't. Too much spaghetti. Matthew 18, verse 10. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Some little kids have an angelic representation in heaven. What's that? We read over there in Revelation a while ago. Won't have to turn to it. But Revelation says that the churches have an angelic representation in heaven. And these are the seven stars, which are the seven angels over the seven churches.